Support for WGLT's Grow comes from FS Custom Turf by Evergreen FS. FS Custom Turf offers complete lawn and tree care services to preserve the health of yards, trees, and shrubs. Products and services detailed at evergreen-fs.com.
If the pandemic in 2020 has taught us anything, it's to expect the unexpected. There are concerns about supply chain interruptions, which we saw with toilet paper, and some fresh food was also in short supply, causing people to return to the concept of victory gardens. Now, all of those gardeners are faced with eating or processing all of that food. This is WGLT's gardening podcast, Grow, with practical advice from our expert, Patrick Murphy, with Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences. Patrick, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for talking with us, Mike.
Before we get to preserving food, let's talk about growing food. We've talked before about planting a garden, making sure it has 6 to 8 hours of sun, well-drained soil, and good quality or amended soil. We've also talked about containers or raised beds. Suburban and rural residents have an easier time in finding or using garden space. What about urban areas? Is there anything grown in the ground that can't be grown in a container?
There are only a few things that cannot be grown in a container. So you wouldn't want to grow watermelon or potatoes or peanuts or barley. Traditional food crops like tomato, leaf lettuce, corn bean varieties, squash, they are better to grow in a vessel or an outdoor plot, singularly or mixed with other existing plants.
Urban dwellers face the greatest challenge. Creating a food source in a limited space is more difficult and limited compared to a rural or suburban dweller. What do apartment livers or people gardening on a balcony or patio need to know?
They should remember that the potential is greatest where the container plant can get the required amounts of sunlight or some supplemental light. Grow lights are nice, fluorescent is a minimum, and incandescent lights really only supply heat. But you also want to take advantage and use as much of the space available. So if you're planting it on a balcony, use as much of it as you can. Same thing in the ground and plant density. Lots of plants, as many as you can manage, so that they can nurse over each other.
And quick, easy nutrition, either in the city or the country, might be sprouts. Tell me about growing sprouts and why that's a good option.
Sprouts are great because they don't take the 6 to 8 weeks to turn into something edible. You can produce them quickly. There's a wide variety of sprouts, wheatgrass, beans, lentils, radish, peas, broccoli, alfalfa. They all work. They're all easy to grow, and they're pleasant tasting. One can easily make a small terrarium with glass jar and a fit lid. There are tons of kits for a single person or up to four-person household. And you want to mix your sprouts together. They'll be ready in as little as 4 days. If you had as much as 4 cups per person per day, you would probably satisfy the nutritional requirements you need to maintain good health and everything. Just combine that with some protein.
Can sprouts work inside year-round? And what else can we grow? What other food can we grow in the Midwest during the off-season?
The sprouts can be produced year-round, and so can lettuce, peppers, cucumbers, tomatoes, beets. They can be intercropped in containers or grown individually. For these, lighting is really important. Sprouts, you can get away with a little less than that. But that's kind of the rundown on that one.
What about foraging? And are we talking about nuts and fruits primarily?
We always want to include nuts and fruits because there are some available to us. You know, you could boil some acorns. There are lots of mulberries and things like that, but what is safer and abundant are edible leaf plants like clover, field garlic, daisies, the dandelion. You can eat the whole part, all the plant parts, the above ground parts. Lemon balm, garlic mustard that we volunteer to pull from public gardens. That's edible and nutritious. Dead nettle, ground elder. These are all easy to identify and prepare, and they continue to grow after they're pruned for harvest. But there are many others. Forage foods should be introduced to the diet in small portions. I mentioned the acorns when you asked about the nuts. The gut can be insulted by eating some of these for the first time. It's something you want to kind of introduce a little bit at a time if you've never tried them before.
And at the end of a growing season, what about harvesting seeds? If one is really aiming for independence, replanting the seeds of the original plant might be a way to go.
it's an important thing. And saving seeds by collecting them and then cleaning them, drying them, and storing them is essential to keep your food wheel turning.
Is seed harvesting different for different plants?
There are some differences, and some seed appears as a structure after your flowers appear. So in the early growth process, you might see some unusual vegetative forms on your lettuce. Well, those are flowers, and that's where your seeds are going to be. But in other cases, the seeds are going to be found within, like a tomato or an apple. However, if you plant the seeds from the apple, there's no guarantee you're going to get the same color apple as the one you removed it from.
So we're nearing the end of the growing season in the Midwest. What are we going to do with all of this food?
Yeah, I know. What are we going to do? So canning, we could can the food. Canning requires a lot of steps and a lot of preparation. Drying, you could dry this stuff. Drying does take some time, but it's a little easier to do. It just requires some patience. And you can also freeze things. These are typical means for preserving the food. A lot of these foods can be stored for a short period of time in a simple closed glass container with a lid.
Canning, drying, freezing, those are longer-term storage solutions. What about shorter-term storage, like 2-3 weeks, maybe a month? Any way to extend the shelf life of vegetables, or does it depend on the vegetable?
Well, there are lots of options that will give you the short-term storage, you know, so you can cycle the stuff for consumption. So you would consider perhaps a 5-gallon bucket that have these special airtight lids that are made especially for food storage. They allow the gas out that prevents air but it also prevents air and insects from being able to reach the food. Dry grains, dry beans are great long-term and intermediate-term storage in these food buckets. You don't have to fill the bucket, but if you did, you could keep it in there for a month or less for something that you're going to be eating right away. Always remember to label your contents. Jars, glass is best. Square or squarish is best for safe and space efficiency. A rubber or plastic gasket that the food cannot touch helps maintain the proper seal. And foods can be kept in a cool, dry place for a month or longer in just a sealed glass jar.
And what about the basement or an old-fashioned root cellar? I've kept potatoes for months that I've grown in the basement in old milk crates.
Yeah, I've heard of that, and even crawl spaces in certain cases, but we'll call those a deep well. We know what root cellars are. Your food buckets and your jars can go into these deep wells or the cellar. And the key, though, on a root cellar or a deep well is that it goes below the frost line. Frost lines vary depending upon one's location.
And we've talked about plants since this is grow, but if you wanted to go all out, people could smoke and preserve meats.
Absolutely. And you can cure meats with salt and cool smoke from a fire. And one could actually build a smokehouse. Cured meats can remain in a cold smoker for up to 2 years. And that was the way it was done for many, many, many years. And there are a variety of ways to do this and types of smokehouses. So if you're interested, investigate it a bit and find a style that works best for you. You can select a style that's best for your family to utilize that's smaller in nature, but a lot of times the smokers work best when they're a little bit on the bigger side. So you have to decide for yourself which is best for you.
If you have questions or comments about food storage or preparation or anything in the garden or landscape, get in touch, and Patrick Murphy with Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences will answer them. I'm Mike McCurdy. Send your questions to wglt.org/grow.